Oliver Callan on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by It's For Women. You are not 9 to 5 and neither are we. Conveniently open online 365 days per year, 24 hours per day.
Oliver Callan on RTE Radio 1.
You are welcome back. Let's bring you back in time a little bit. Studio, we're celebrating the Showband era today because there is a new original Irish musical that will hit the Olympia stage next month, celebrating all that magic and all that nostalgia of the Showband era. It's called Are You Dancing? And the writers and producers, Carol and Helen, plus one of the stars of the show, I should say, Paul Mescal Moore, Tosha and Sha. Paul Mescal Sheenshra, Tosha and Sha, fresh and yes. Guys, you are very, very welcome into the studio. I have to go to you because, you know, we have been talking about your son all morning here. Of course, the trailer has dropped for Gladiator, and Paul Mescal, of course, your son, is the star of the show. And of course, you're the star of this show. But he didn't lick it off the stones. Did he get it all from you, all the starriness?
It just so happened he just morphed into that area, and he found his own way, and he carved out his own furrow on that. So anything, and maybe I might have been influential, and I'll take any credits that are being given out to me.
Well, you certainly will. But of course, your father passed it to you.
Oh yes, well, my father actually put me on the stage back in 1978. No, I actually plagued him to put me on the stage. So he had been an actor himself. He was a farmer from West Clare, and but he was also interested in drama, and that every rural area has a drama club and a GA club, and that was the thing he was into, and he gave it to me, and then I certainly would have passed some of it on to Paul, and he would have taken a flavour of it, so I suppose maybe a little bit I could take.
I think you could take a lot more than that. But I don't know if people realise how big amateur drama is in this country. And when you have the culmination of that with the award ceremony and all on everyone on treading the boards and Athlone this year, I know we covered it ourselves on the Today Show. I mean, it's a very big part, especially of rural communities.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, I mean, when I grew up into it and grew up with it then for, say, from the time I was about 12, and eventually ended up getting to the mecca of Athlone in 2000 as well. So I have to thank my father for putting me on the stage, giving me the actual bug for it, because it is a bug and you can't help yourself, and it stays with you right through your life. Yeah. So that I did get to
But it's not just a bug, because you took the bug the whole way. Didn't you win the Best Actor Award?
How did you hear about that?
Oh, everybody. You know what? You've eclipsed your son just by being here in front of me right now.
Yeah, I did. But that was it. That was about the height of it for me, you know. So that journey, you know, I was really proud of that. And it did go back to my father. And I was so grateful for that. And that's I suppose, how I got myself here into this fantastic
What was the
production.
Show? Just remind me, the show you the won show, the award. Because your dad won the award too,
It was a
didn't
play
he?
Called yeah. The Salvage Shop by Jim Nolan, a great Irish writer. And it was a kind of semi-autobiographical part where I got to play, kind of, the character was based on him. And it was lovely to actually meet him and to be mentored by him and to inhabit that character. Okay. It was really
great. And
your
dad, of course, won the award as well. So now
he won it back in 57. Yeah, yeah.
So all the way from the 50s to today, to an Oscar winner, I predict now, with your son.
Well, that's great. Oh, but me? Oh no!
You've won your awards, Paul.
I think we leave it to the younger generation. Yes.
Okay, let's talk about this play we're all here to talk about, and Showband nostalgia. Carol Gleeson and Helen Spring, you're far too young. Why? Why Showband?
We're
you
not
two
as young
writers.
As we look.
Tell us about this.
Well, Helen and I have been working creatively together for many, many years. We formed our own theatre production company in 2016, A Likely Story Productions. And we realised that in order to take things to the next level, so to speak, that we needed to do something original. So we decided to write our own play, and we knew that we wanted to incorporate music. They say write what you'd know, so we knew we wanted it to be Irish. So we literally took out the Irish history book and went through all of the eras, back as far as the Celtic times, right through the Irish famine. There was so much heartbreak and poverty in so much of Ireland's history. But when we arrived at the 1960s, we thought, wow, here's something we can work with. The 60s were so rich, and rich in a really diverse way, rich in the social elements, the cultural elements, but most importantly, the fun elements.
The show bands were sort of, you know, I suppose they were sort of the revolutionary language of the people of that time. You know, it was the first time that people were able to sort of break out, express themselves in a new way. And it was something that was very unique to Irish culture. And I suppose when we came upon it, it sort of organically created, or, you know, turned out that we, you know, we thought it would be a wonderful thing to write about, because it's just such a vibrant time that we felt was relatively untapped in terms of it being represented on the stage anyhow.
And it is interesting because, you know, you think of the swinging 60s and that revolution that was happening, that people could literally let themselves go, dance the way they danced. It was almost when we watched Riverdance. And of course, I come, like you, from a kind of probably a very Kaylee type background, you know, and all that, Paul.
Well, I actually was at the end. I know I don't look it now from my age profile here at the moment, but I was at the end of the show band era. The Conquerors and the Indians and all of those guys used to come to our local hall in Curraclare. So it was about 1982. It was like the arrival of the Beatles, because we wouldn't have seen bands, and we wouldn't have heard band sounds back in the in that era, you know, unless you travel. It's difficult enough to travel out of West Clare. So I'm a living link.
You are the living link. But I remember all that too, and they were touring and all that. But and they are. The funny thing is, there's now a rejuvenation of all this, and they're touring again. But you did it on the social element, when you think about writing this, of what it brought to the people. That did they get a release, Carol?
Absolutely. And when we spoke to all of, what was great is it's based in recent history. So we were able to speak to so many firsthand witnesses. It wasn't just all text-based research, which was wonderful for us. And universally, whoever we spoke to, their eyes just lit up whenever they started reminiscing about their show band days.
Jimmy McGee,
absolutely. He was a very good friend of my husband's family, the late great Jimmy McGee. So he was able to give us an insight from the industry perspective, what things were like back then for the show bands. So we had a unique perspective in that sense. We also spoke to Sean Riley, a manager at that time as well, and his lovely wife Olive. They regaled us with wonderful tales from that era. But then we just spoke to people who literally went to the Crystal Ballroom, Lawler's Ballroom, and loads of others who attended. And the stories were just so full of magic. And we fed off the energy. Like, everyone wanted to talk about it. Those stories have become part of local oral history. They're part of the folklore of Irish history at this point. Everyone has a story to say.
You hear the ballroom of romance.
Yeah.
It really was. You know, so many couples met at the dances.
Do you remember the night Mary met Paddy at the dance at the Crystal? And
I think it's lovely that you had that deep dive into history and got first-hand stories as well. So how then, Helen, do you correlate all this information and bring it in a very unusual way, because it's not often we write our own musicals and stage them here on this level. How do you bring this to the stage? How does it translate?
Do you know, it's funny because when we talk about it now, it's sort of, we hardly remember how we actually managed to do it. we started writing, it's more of a play with music, realistically, rather than a musical, in the sense that the characters don't spontaneously burst into song. The music that's interwoven throughout the text is either when we're in the dance hall, when our incredible band are playing, so that's when they're entertaining the crowds. And then we do have transition music between scenes as well, which is more music of Ireland. It's not just kept to show band music, but it was an interesting process. Carol and I were sharing a house at the time back in 2018 when we wrote the play. That we had the storms that year, the storm Ophelia and storm was it Emma, and then we actually named the show band in our play, we called them the Stormers after that.
Well, that's actually a good show band name. So you guys do everything, you're part of it as well.
Yes, we are. Yeah, we play the lead roles of Mary McDade. So Paul actually plays my grumpy old dad.
Even again, I don't look her in the show. Old enough to be her father.
Definitely
public
not.
Announcement. Public announcement.
They can make me up pretty well.
So what is the plot then, Carl? What's your role again? So Mary.
So I'm Mary McDade. So the story essentially follows the lead character, Tommy O'Neill, who finds himself unwittingly at the helm of an upcoming show band in 1960s Donegal. And then as his star rises, we see his struggles both professionally and personally. We do have an awful lot of themes running through in terms of, you know, the grip of the church on society at that time. Mm. But we've also touched on, you know, familial problems. My grumpy old dad, as I said.
So what do you do to her? What do you do?
Well, it's just a very unhappy, disgruntled, disliked, unlikable individual with an incomplete sense of himself. That was the brief that Helen gave me when she told me to do the talk. What they're not to like about him. So that's just generally what he does.
I'd say that's the antithesis of you as a person, because
yes,
you're so not
yes,
like
how
that.
Did you get that?
I can see it right in front of you in about 30 yeah. seconds.
He's so, a lot more
no,
joyful
it's been,
than
it's been great. So he's just a foil in the play for all of the good stuff that goes on in the play.
And is he watching out for her? Because typical fathers, I mean, I am one of four girls, right? And even
he is,
me
but in a very negative way. Okay. Only you know, don't be out too late. He's not really looking after her, that kind of thing.
He's
lacking empathy, shall we say. Would I be right there?
Definitely, you're dead right. Kind of controlling, And then there is a love story as well, of course, like all great plays or all great shows, a love story. So Helen plays Sarah Hart. And there's loads of other elements. Like we have a scene, for example, with the introduction of the television to the pub for the first time. Mm. So we have, you know, characters trying to get the reception, you know, standing on top of stools, trying to get the area, all of that.
We've quite a big cast, you know, overall, like as a whole production, it's actually probably one of the largest homegrown original productions to hit the national stage.
People?
Which is a bit mad. Overall, we've over 30
on stage
at that biggest moment in the dancehall scene. But that encompasses a cast of 12 actors, 14 dancers, and then we have a live band as well. So,
and tell us about the band, because you're saying you draw on various, I'm not saying genres, but I suppose when you look at the whole show band era, it's wide and varied. What kind of music can we expect?
So in terms of show band music, we have all the classic hits. We have Rock Around the Clock, Hit the Road Jack, From the Candy Store on the Corner,
Crazy.
Blueberry Hill,
Crazy,
yeah. Crazy Patsy Crazy. Cline. Yeah. God, there's a huge amount of
The Hills
songs.
Of Clare, which is a lesser known
show. Can you sing that, The Hills of Clare?
I wouldn't inflict that on the
How does it go?
If I could choose a place. I don't have a singing role in this. No, maybe not. If I could choose a place to walk with you.
Find The Hills of Clare.
It's Brendan Byers.
No, that's Sean Dunphy. Sorry,
he came second in the Eurovision. There
we found it.
Found it. There you go.
If I could choose a time to talk with you, I'd choose the longest day, and over all the hills of Clare, I'd shout the news.
Oh, look.
Such a crooner
voice.
And it is.
Just brought a tear to my eye as a Clare man, you know, given the Clare hype that's going on.
I've never heard that before.
Oh, it's a great one.
Oh, it is
so It's one of the Eurovision entries.
Yes.
Way back then. Yeah.
It came second.
Oh, did
1968
second.
Or 69, I think it was. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I was only four.
You're only a bob oak.
Yeah.
Do you know what's interesting? Because this is a look back as well, because there is the history, as you said, and you spoke to a lot of people, and that's wonderful as well. It sounds like a bit of crack, which I think is brilliant.
It's a lot of fun.
I think it has to be looked on as an intergenerational piece, you know. I mean, initially when I got involved in the production, I said, oh yeah, I'm going to tell all the people that are older than me to come and see this, you know, and they're going to love it. But I think younger people from my age down would benefit from seeing it as well, because, you know, I mean, the people, it's a reflection. It's a window into people's lives at that time as well. And people did, encounter the same issues as they did then. I think the way that the issues and everything are played out and in the backdrop backdrop of the music is fantastic. So I think it's very much an intergenerational piece.
Absolutely. The feedback has been across the board, like everybody as enthusiastic from people who can remember the Chauvin era as from, you know, much younger than us even who've come to see it. And like even I have a much younger sister and her age group were kind of still in college. And when they came, they said, oh my God, we wish we had dance halls. Like, why do we only have clubs? We want to go to the dance. And, you
it's
know,
true, it's true because now it's just so different. So it's a very different vibe. We've all kind of, well, Paul, you and I certainly would have been at kind of Cayley's. We used to have a thing in the island called a Cayley Disco, which is the coolest thing ever. So it was a hybrid. So you'd go in and we were like, say, 14, 15 young because it was just a local thing. In you'd go and they'd be like, dancing around, lights down, disco, and we'd all be dancing to all the kind of 80s stuff. And then all of a sudden, at like the bong of 12, boing, the lights would come up and then the stage would open and we would have the accordion and we'd all dance around to do the set.
Fantastic. Cool. Brilliant craft.
Do get in touch with us because I'd love to hear your stories on this. 51551 is the text number. I know there are a load of you listening today with lots of stories about the dance halls and about the show band era. One of them's gotten in touch with us already. My mum and dad were in the pub and live music industry. The small village of Dundrum, I know it, in Tipperary, was known for drawing 2,000 and sometimes 3,000 dancers to all of the biggest acts. Gina, Dale Hayes and the Champions. Do you remember them? I actually, they're on tour again now. I interviewed them recently. Gina, she's looking fabulous. Wow. Joe Dolan and the Indians and even international acts like Johnny Cash, Meatloaf and Smokey. Love Smokey. I still love Smokey. Amazing times to grow up in.
Amazing. And like Paul had said earlier, these people, when they came from town to town, they were like rock stars, you know? It was like the Beatles came to town.
It was the first time I would ever seen a band with a brass section. I think the Conquerors had brass and they had, you know, they were cool. I mean, these guys were the guys, you know, at the time. So yes, it was, you know,
so
in rural Ireland,
you know,
might have been the first time you would ever heard that kind of sound.
And you know what was great though, when you think about it, that they actually came to small towns. That's what I loved about it.
Nearly even more so.
Dundrum and Tipperary, when you think about it, absolutely brilliant. My father and his brothers opened a ballroom in Letterkenny called the Fiesta in 1960.
You mentioned it.
I was born and crowds used to flock there. The year I was born, 1960, crowds used to flock there every Friday night. Great Irish show bands, Memories, Big Tom, Capital, Miami, Dickie Rock. It was phenomenal. Girls all lined up on one side of the hall and the boys asking, are you dancing?
Are you dancing?
Another thing. Boys were on one and girls were on the other and they'd come over. Right, I remember. I'll just do my sound effect. They'd march over and they kind of tap you on the knee. Dancer.
Dance. And then you might have to get a bottle of orange.
A bottle of orange.
A mineral.
Yes,
I don't think there was the minerals in Curraghclare when I was there, but I think that was one of the lines as well. Are you a dancer or are you having a mineral?
And my mum is a Kerry woman and she said in Kerry they used to say, and will you stay on?
Does that mean like walk you home stuff?
No, will you stay on the dance floor? Will you stay on for another one?
So
they'd say, are you dancing? And then when you're dancing with them, they'd turn to you and say, will you stay on?
But you know the interaction as well when you think of just that kind of interface, because now there's so much dating online. I know times have moved on, of course, but it's a different thing because I think when you actually look at somebody straight in the face, you can judge them, you can feel. It's nothing like the actual real life face to face, is there?
No, nothing. There's no substitute for it. And that's what even all of our cast, you know, obviously they're all young and they didn't experience the show bands. And when they're involved in the dancehall scenes, they turn to each other and they say, we wish we had this. Do you know? It's just such an electric feeling.
Well, you know what? We can relive it again with you. So you're in rehearsals at the moment.
We are. We just started on Monday night, literally. And we are lucky enough to have our two of the lead characters, Sean McMahuna with us and Bronwyn Andrews. And we were doing some of the music that they're doing in the show band dance hall scenes. So that's what we started on. And then we're heading head first into the rest of it now over the next couple of weeks. It's going to fly by. It's only 7 weeks away before we open.
Dance rehearsals next week.
Yeah, dance rehearsals, all of the scenes. So yeah, it's going to be a busy couple of weeks.
When can we see you in the Olympia?
We have in the Olympia, we're on from the 27th to the 31st of August. And we have one preview in Kilkenny on the 24th of August.
The Watergate Theatre in Kilkenny.
The Watergate Theatre,
Great, excellent. Paul, how's retirement from teaching?
Retirement, we're 2 weeks in, I'm delighted to have this project to be involved in. It's great. It's really good. I had a great time working in school for 35 years, and I'm delighted to be in a position that I'm fit and healthy to embrace this next phase of life. And what a way to start, being involved in this. This is a dream start. I didn't go out to find this. This found me. I can't be more grateful to Helen and Carl for having the confidence in me
this
to come in.
This is full circle,
with
Paul.
This is a serious cast as well. And it's a real honour to be involved with them.
Brilliant. And I love the fact that it's homegrown and it's all about us and it's bringing us back in time. And hopefully a whole new audience will get to see it and know what it's like to have been there in those ballrooms of romance.
I hope so. And our cast are all Irish and we have an incredible band as well. The best musicians from across the country under the expert guidance of Dave McGoran. And a wonderful director on board as well, Pat McElwain. So we're very excited.
Excellent. Guys, thank you so much. I hope I'll get to see it at some stage. It sounds absolutely brilliant. And I love the fact that there's a bit of everything for everyone in it. We shall see you soon.
Thank you
so much.
Give me a mouth.
Fulcha. Now let's take a bit of music.
Email oliver@rte.ie.